And you don't want to miss my special guest to kick off hour number two. That is David Aragona from the Daily Racing Forum. He is with me now to talk Derby. David, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
I was just going through and updating our poll question here, and I'm asking people, you know, we're 3 weeks out from the Derby. I'm asking listeners to let me know who is their Derby horse right now. If I were to ask you that question, I'm going to, who is your Derby horse right now, David?
Wow, you're jumping in with a tough one.
I'm definitely putting you in the spot right off the bat. Your maiden race here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and I hit you with that.
I'm going to punt a little bit and say that this is a great Kentucky Derby to try to find a horse in that, let's say, 15-to-25-to-1 range, because it feels like we're going to have two horses that really occupy fairly short prices on the tote board, and it's kind of a rare situation at the Kentucky Derby where typically there's one horse to beat, but in a 20-horse field, it's tough to have two horses that are below 4-to-1, and I think we might have that this year, and it's just going to cause this situation where you're going to have plenty of horses, potentially legitimate contenders, that are in that 15-to-25-to-1 range. And sort of the difficult question for me to answer in the next 3 weeks is which of those I think is going to offer the best value, and I haven't answered that question for myself yet. I'll say I have a short list of horses that I'm sort of considering right now, which would include runners like Honor Marie, Just Steel, Resilience. But it's a tough question to answer this far, especially not knowing how the post positions are going to come up and all that.
Yeah, that's going to play a role. There's no doubt about it. You know, there are people that will latch on to a horse early on. I used to do it. There were many years that, you know, I would see a horse as a two-year-old and say, okay, that's my Derby horse. I'm going, you know, early January. I'm picking this horse now. He just turned three. This is my horse to win the Kentucky Derby. I haven't done that this year. Nobody has really grabbed me. Fierceness, impressive in the Florida Derby. Sierra Leone, very impressive in winning the Bluegrass. That's why they are the two at the head of the class. But it's been a year where everybody's kind of taken turns beating each other for the most part. And I guess one of the questions that you'll have to answer, everybody will have to answer, is do you believe that those two efforts can be duplicated at a mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May?
Yeah, I think it's the big question heading into this Kentucky Derby, and you've got these two favorites that really could not be any more different. I mean, Fierceness, yeah, he has that brilliance, but a race like the Kentucky Derby, it can be a real test for horses, not just in terms of their ability, but their ability to overcome adversity. And that's something that we haven't really seen Fierceness do. The couple of times that he's had just minor trouble at the start in the Champagne and the Holy Bull, he's thrown in the towel in the second half of those races. And you wonder, with a start like we typically see in the Kentucky Derby, where horses come over on each other, there's jostling, bumping, is he quick enough to get clear of all of that? How fast will he have to go if he wants to make the front end again? Because he's a horse that has gotten pretty comfortable paces for him when he's been most impressive in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Florida Derby. So, I mean, no doubt that Fierceness has shown the most talent out of anybody, but I think you do have to wonder whether he's the kind of horse that can overcome the rigors of the Kentucky Derby trip. And then Sierra Leone, I feel like he's the reliable horse. I mean, in terms of just showing up from race to race, he puts in that late run every time, but he is a deep closer in the Derby, and we have seen those types encounter traffic in the past, and coming from as far back as he does at a 20-horse field, it's not the easiest thing to do, and does feel like there's some pace in this race for him, but he still has to, you know, find those holes and seams to come through to get there, closing from as far back as he's going to. So questions for both to answer, but it feels like they are the two main players for sure.
The horse that will no doubt get a lot of respect, but he's a bit of a mystery horse, is the Japanese entrant Forever Young, one of a couple Japanese horses, but he is the one that's the most highly accomplished. What do you do with Forever Young, the UAE Derby winner?
I think if you're a fan of Forever Young, you're happy with how the final round of prep races went, because it does feel like he's maybe going to be a slightly bigger price than it looked like he could be in the immediate aftermath of the UAE Derby, just given how impressive Sierra Leone and Fierceness were in their races subsequently. Because, I mean, he is a horse that, as you said, has a following coming in here. He's undefeated in five starts. And, you know, this pass from the UAE Derby to the Kentucky Derby, it obviously hasn't worked. And there have been some very talented horses to try to do this, winning both races. And runners like Mendelssohn and Dermot Sotagake, who did attract support in the Kentucky Derby, were unable to repeat their performances in Dubai on the first Saturday in May. I guess the big difference between Forever Young and those horses is that they achieve these lopsided front-running victories in Dubai, and that can sometimes be a course that can exaggerate those types of performances. Whereas Forever Young, he's one that comes from a little off the pace. He's shown, you know, the aptitude to relax behind horses, come from a little further back, and also we know he's got that stamina to go the longer distances. Obviously, he won the UAE Derby going a mile and 3/16, but even as a two-year-old in Japan, they ran him a mile and an eighth in his first couple of starts, so he's always been cut out to do this. It's just a question of whether or not he has the talent to take down a couple of horses that we already know are really good running in the United States, the two favorites, and whether he can overcome that path that we have seen not work in the past, but maybe he has better attributes to tackle this challenge than some others that have tried it before him.
The lightly raced Brad Cox trainee, Just a Touch, looked like he was going to win the Bluegrass Stakes and upset Sierra Leone and everybody else. Sierra Leone came and ran him down late. But if you like Sierra Leone, do you also have to like Just a Touch, considering the two of them were right there coming down to the wire in the Bluegrass Stakes?
I mean, I think you do. The Bluegrass pace, it obviously set up for Sierra Leone, but I thought Just the Touch held on pretty well. I mean, he was tracking a horse in Top Connor who was going a little bit too fast for him on the front end, and Just the Touch had to come under a ride to get to that horse. So once he did, he kind of showed his stamina to go clear and mid-stretch before Sierra Leone came and got him at the end, but he finished well clear of the rest. He improved his speed figure once again and just feels like the kind of horse that is not going to have a problem stretching out a little bit further in distance. We've already seen him cope with a faster pace like he did last time. For him, it's just a question of whether or not his inexperience is going to catch up to him on the first Saturday of May. Obviously, a horse like Mage was able to do it last year. I would say Mage probably had to learn a few more lessons in his prep races than maybe Just the Touch has so far, and Just the Touch has kind of proven he needs one kind of trip, whereas Mage has shown a lot of versatility in his races up until this point. But, I mean, he's got the right trainer in his corner in Brad Cox to try to do it.
No doubt about it. Visiting with David Aragona of the Daily Racing Form, you can catch his Derby Watch segment along with Brad Free every single week. Just go to drf.com/derbywatch and you can check out all the information there. There's so many great articles and morning lines and comments about each of the horses and their past performances. And David and Brad do a tremendous job. David, a couple folks weighing in on the poll question here, and they're on the Catching Freedom bandwagon. They feel like he can run everybody down late in the Kentucky Derby. Do you agree that Catching Freedom is a horse to watch on the first Saturday in May?
I think he's the kind of horse that you could say is probably going to finish somewhere in the top five or six. Mm-hmm. Whether or not he's going to prove good enough to actually get the job done, I mean, we'll see if he's able to take another step forward. But he's obviously taken these incremental steps forward with every start so far. And, you know, he was competed in one of those first 100-point prep races in the Louisiana Derby, and now so much has happened since then. It feels like some of the steam that he was coming out of that race with has since dissipated. But he was good that day, and that Louisiana path to Kentucky Derby, it's proven to be one of the most potent ones so far this season. I think the top five finishers across the wire in the Risen Star all have met the points threshold and are expected to be in this Kentucky Derby starting gate. He was third in that race and somewhat overshadowed by the performance of Sierra Leone, but he felt like the kind of horse that was just learning his lesson through the prep races. So I'm not going to be surprised when he moves forward again in Kentucky.
Another horse that's getting some love from our listeners in our poll question is Just Steel for the Hall of Famer Dwayne Lucas. And listen, nobody pulls a rabbit out of a hat like Dwayne Lucas. He's won the Derby four times. Just Steel, looking to give him number five. What are your thoughts on Just Steel?
Yeah, I know some people were surprised by his second place finish in the Arkansas Derby. I wasn't maybe as surprised as some, because when you go back and watch his two preps prior to that, the Southwest and the Rebel, he really got the wrong trips in both of those races. I mean, we saw Mystic Dan just, you know, scoot up that inside path that did seem to be an advantage on Southwest Day, and he ran the best of anybody, Just Steel did, that was wide, getting a trip around both turns. And then in the Rebel Stakes, I mean, he broke from the 11 hole and was literally five wide around the clubhouse turn and the far turn. That's just an impossible trip to have success with. So he was kind of dirtied up coming into the Arkansas Derby, and I think he proved that distance isn't going to be the big problem for him that I think a lot of people assumed it would be. And he ran well behind Booth, who would be one of the favorites if he were able to run in this race. And I know he's had plenty of starts and a lot more experience than others, so maybe you don't project him to have the same upside as some of the lightly raced runners in this field, but his final prep was a good one, and we've seen Dwayne Lucas get these horses with experience to continue stepping forward in the Triple Crown races before.
I'm going to circle back to a name you mentioned when we first started our conversation here this morning, and that is Honor Marie, runner-up in the Louisiana Derby, behind Catching Freedom. This is a horse that I've been high on all spring long, and it looks like maybe Honor Marie is starting to put it all together.
He feels like one of those horses that people could land on just based on his pattern, because we saw him improve through three starts as a two-year-old, cycling up to that visually impressive score at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Jockey Club, where he launched that blitz from last to first in the blink of an eye to get the job done so impressively. And now he came back as a three-year-old. Some are a little disappointed in his risen star. I mean, I think he was a little too far back to do much running that day in a race that didn't feature a whole lot of pace, and he took that step forward in the Louisiana Derby, outclosed by Catching Freedom, but still a big step forward from a form and speed figure standpoint. And now he's third off the layoff. Feels like the kind of horse that's supposed to handle distance and get pace. And maybe if he can now improve again, third start off the layoff like he did in his third start as a two-year-old, he could make a case for him in this race. And he's just the kind of horse for me. I want to see what price he is, because I think he's going to need to be a price to get me interested, but I could certainly see the case for him.
Sally Ellen emails the show and said that she really loves how Sierra Leone won the Bluegrass, but not how he came a little unglued from the crowd. And that's going to be an issue with 150,000 plus people on the first Saturday in May. But she also likes Stronghold and Just Steel. We talked about Just Steel. What are your thoughts on Santa Anita Derby winner Stronghold?
I mean, it's a credit to Stronghold that he was even able to qualify out of the Santa Anita Derby, because there was a time a month or two ago where it seemed like that was going to be impossible, just given the strength in Bob Baffert's stable. And I think the reality of the situation is that the Santa Anita Derby came up a slightly softer field than we were expecting it to, with Nysos going to the sidelines and Maymoon not entering in the start, not entering the race. And it just turned out that Stronghold didn't have to run that fast to win. And Imagination, who is a nice horse, is probably Bob Baffert's fourth or fifth best three-year-old when they're all on the track. So, I mean, Stronghold, I think he's shown some likable attributes, his ability to rate behind horses and show some grit to battle for victories. But he's just one of these horses in the field that is going to have to get faster if he's going to be successful against this group he's lining up against.
We've gone through quite a few of the Derby horses, the Derby hopefuls at this point. We won't call them Derby contenders, because things can happen over the next 3 weeks, but the Derby hopefuls and the horses we expect to be in the Kentucky Derby field. David, are there a few others that we haven't touched on yet that you're going to have your eye on when we get to that first Saturday in May?
I mean, I'm interested to see how the Lexington plays out this weekend. It does feel like one of those years where possibly the Lexington could have an impact on the Kentucky Derby, particularly Hades, who I thought was pretty interesting coming into the Florida Derby. I know that he had gotten some perfect trips up until then and had beaten maybe not the best version of Fierceness in the Holy Bull, but just seemed like a horse that was doing well coming into that race, and the trip just didn't work out for him at all. It had to be a really frustrating watch for the connections, because you could see it was over for Hades by the time they were going around the clubhouse turn. And I'll be interested to see if he can bounce back in Lexington, because if he comes through with a big performance, he might be the kind of horse, I mean, he'll obviously have the points, but he might be the kind of horse that you would want to consider in the Kentucky Derby. I think some of the others in Lexington have more questions to answer. I mean, I think Encino can also get the points. Liberal Arts might need a defection or two, even if he wins the race, but he's one that just has to show that he can overcome sort of those mental issues that got to him last time in the Arkansas Derby. So some others have some questions to answer, but I'll be watching that one with interest. And you know, as far as the others that we haven't mentioned yet, I think an intriguing horse in the Kentucky Derby that isn't getting a whole lot of attention is Domestic Product, who obviously hasn't run that fast yet, but he's been in a couple of extremely slow-paced races where he really had no chance to run a fast speed figure, and he's done everything right. It's just a matter of whether or not he can run that fast number when he gets the faster pace against a better competition. He's sort of an unknown in the field, but he's going out for some strong connections and feels like one that could be the rare price for Chad Brown.
David, you've knocked it out of the park here this morning, my friend. I really appreciate the visit. Great stuff. We'll encourage people to go to drf.com/derbywatch to read more of your analysis of all the contenders, and you'll continue to update that, I'm sure, as we get to the first Saturday in May. And really looking forward to a great Kentucky Derby, and looking forward to reading more of your pieces on there, too.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.